think learning how to fail is really, really, really important. If you don't really know how to do that and how to accept that path or the emotional, roller coaster or anything, it's kind of hard later when you continue to not fail and not fail and not fail. Then eventually you fail when you're like later and you're like, oh my God, I'm a complete failure. Versus if you just fail all the time, it's just easier.
Welcome back. Thanks again for joining us this week. Before we get started with our guest this week, who is great and is going to share some nuggets about her journey so far, I wanted to take a moment to kind of reflect on something that happened last week in my community in Boulder, Colorado. 10 people were murdered at a grocery store that's less than 5 minutes away from my house. And this happened after we recorded our episode last week. And there's not really words to kind of describe how awful it is when people are killed in such a horrific way in general. But I think it was just so shattering to me last week to just have another mass shooting happen in the United States. And I know that a lot of our listeners are located in Colorado, but a lot maybe are located outside of the United States too. So I don't know if everyone completely knows what happened, but I just wanted to take a second to acknowledge that sometimes really terrible things happen in life and in our communities, and either, to us as individuals, to our, home city, our home state, our home country, whatever it is. And you have to take time to grieve, to work through those things before you can do kind of any of the work that we're doing here. And, everyone experiences trauma differently. And I think it's really important to just give yourself space when you need it. And I just wanted to quickly touch on that before we got started this week, because last week shook me to my core. And that happens sometimes, and you can't just like shuffle it under the rug and pretend like nothing happens when really awful trauma happens in our lives. And I think it's really important to just kind of acknowledge it when it happens and to be authentic to yourself and to work through it as best as you can. But to the people in Colorado that lost their lives, thinking about them, I am not a thoughts and prayers person. I want action. But I just wanted to acknowledge that that happened in my community, and that really has affected me in the last week. We talk a lot about mental health on this podcast, and that's intentional. I think Alan and I are both really big advocates for mental health and making sure that you're doing everything that you can to take care of yourself. And I know that that's something that we've talked about kind of abstractly, but I did want to give a little nod to a future episode that we're doing in a few weeks with someone who is specifically going to talk about mental health and why that's so important in both life, but also in the career space. But yeah, so that's just something that we wanted to touch on briefly before we got started this week. And without further ado, we will get into this week's episode, but thank you guys for the support and understanding, and take care of yourselves. This week, we're joined by Kara Zucker. Kara is currently a product manager at Kinzu and the founder of Tech Ladies Vancouver. She served as a U.S. Peace Corps volunteer and currently mentors with the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade, Leaders of Tomorrow, and at her alma maters, the University of Washington and the University of Colorado. Kara, thank you so much for joining us this week, and welcome to Paths to Purpose.
Thanks. Super pumped to be here.
We're so excited to chat with you. Can we kind of start by chatting about what you do currently and how you got there?
Yeah, definitely. As you mentioned, I am the lead product manager at a kid tech startup called Kinzu. And before that, I was working as a product manager for a startup called Dapper Labs. And they kind of work in the blockchain space, specifically with non-fungible tokens, which is all the rage right now, are known as NFTs, so things like CryptoKitties. So I got to do everything from user research to market research, and then a little bit of project management as well. Before that, I did blockchain consulting, worked for a few fintech startup companies, like a equity-based crowdfunding platform, kind of like an Indiegogo or Kickstarter, but with equity instead of donor-based. And then I did some financial sustainability work with an ed tech nonprofit, which is how I met Alan originally, and working different stuff with high school and college students on financial responsibility. And then worked for Rotary International and then served in the Peace Corps in El Salvador. And then I worked on a political campaign in Boulder, Colorado for a while. So it's been a crazy journey. Along the ride, I got my MBA. I never would have thought I got into product management from where I started in politics. But I think, you know, it's just incredible what opportunities open up if you're really open to trying new things and new challenges. So it's been a lot of fun, and I have no idea what my job will be in 3 years. And I didn't realize it 3 years ago either, because new things are always being invented and created.
Very cool. So can we kind of backtrack a little bit and talk more about like what you would define your purpose as, and then maybe how did you arrive at finding it? Because you have this really cool path that you've gone through that you just highlighted. And I think on paper, it just looks like you've kind of done a little bit of everything. And how would you kind of describe the journey that you've been on maybe? And did you use any tools to help you get there?
You know, to be honest, this question's a little bit tough to answer because I'm still trying to figure out my purpose, to be honest. I think in many ways we all are. I wouldn't say that, like, you know, I definitely want to solve this problem in the world or figure out this solution to this idea. But I think for me, my purpose is constantly changing. I get bored really easily, to be honest. I love being challenged on, you know, things that I feel really strongly about or I want to learn more about. And I think there's a lot of impactful projects and products and finding ways to make the world better. So for me, at one point, it was blockchain as a new technology and something innovative and trustworthy you could really learn. After a while, kind of got sick of that and wanted to do something different. So, you know, right now I'm working at a messenger app that's making it safer for kids instead of alternatives like Facebook. So, you know, it's, for me, it's constantly trying to find out, is this a good fit for me for the role and the company? Is it worth the risk? Worked for a lot of startups. I never really felt like I fit into the cubicle role kind of a thing in a big office, even though nowadays that's kind of out the window, which is awesome. But I think the biggest thing for me is really finding people that you trust and trying to find advisors and mentors along the way. Mentors cycle in and out depending on what place you are in your career. They can be helpful for the stage that you're at to move you to the next stage. But I think the biggest thing is really trusting your gut, getting the advice that you need, and always be willing to try something new because you just never know what'll unfold. Maybe it'll blow up in your face and maybe not, but you'll always get that experience. And even later when you kind of be like, oh, that job was terrible, you're like, no, I learned all these things while I was there that have helped me get to where I am now.
So Kara, how do you source these projects? Is it intellectual curiosity? Is it emotional curiosity? Because, I mean, the Peace Corps is humanitarian, so I presume the politics thing. So is there a thread around which that guides you?
I would say for me personally, it's constantly trying to learn. So before, when I was really focusing on the Peace Corps, I wanted to make an impact. I wanted to travel. I wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to learn a new language. I wanted to really be at that grassroots level. And there's a lot of things that I am, you know, thinking about right now of how I can get back to that, because as a product manager, you talk with your users all the time. So you want to know what challenges they're dealing with, how they can improve, what things that they want. And so I think for me, it's really trying to connect with people on that grassroots level and understand what problems they have and how I can help solve them. I don't know if that answers your question, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, the one thread I know, and this is also knowing you, is that you have to be working with people and you have to understand people and you have to connect with people. And that goes into this trust concept. And so that at least seems systematic throughout my understanding of kind of where you've journeyed through, is that you're still always engaged with people.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely the case. If you don't know the people that you're working with or the people you're trying to help solve, then what are you doing?
So I guess, just kind of taking a step back to when you were in undergrad, from your LinkedIn profile, it said that you were a political sciences and a Jewish studies majors. So how did you kind of, when you were in college, decide that from those two things that you wanted to go into the Peace Corps, and kind of what was your...
Oh, I definitely didn't know at all.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a question. No, that's great. Just kind of would love to hear more about what kind of thoughts went into that decision-making process for you. And just kind of, I think when I was in college, I don't remember hearing a lot about kind of the AmeriCorps options, and like thinking about maybe more, yeah, non-traditional, or just like going the humanitarian route versus going into like big corporate firms. And yeah, just what inspired that and what gave you the courage or the wherewithal to do that?
Yeah, I would say I wouldn't look at it from a humanitarian point, to be honest, because I think there's a lot of things in Peace Corps that people don't realize. Like, it's very much you are thrown on the ground and just have to figure things out. So, you know, it's kind of what Alan was talking on a people assessment. You do a census of the whole community that you live in. Every Peace Corps volunteer is required to do this. So you understand, okay, where are the key problems? What do people want? Where are they struggling? What do they want to learn? And then you kind of bridge off from there of like, okay, do people want to learn English? Is this really important to them? Even though I know it's not going to be sustainable because I'm the only person who speaks English out of 50 miles from here. Or like, can we focus on building like solar stoves because it'll not have them breathe smoke in every day that they cook food. But maybe they won't do that because they've been cooking the same way for years. And it's probably going to be a really tough transition to go from where they are now to where they maybe could be. So I think for me, at least at Boulder, there's a huge community around Peace Corps. I mean, Boulder has been, maybe in the last, not the last few years, but the last 10 years, a huge promoter and sender of students to Peace Corps. Like, you used to be in the top three for years. And so I always knew people who were signing up, applying, about to leave, considering it. But I honestly didn't think about it at all. I was a student ambassador in college, so I gave tours. And part of the tours that they did was like this day in the life of a student on Fridays, where kids would come and visit. They'd do a tour of campus. They'd go to a bunch of sessions. They'd go to a student panel. And I got to present what a day in the life was of a CU student. So I went through my schedule of classes I signed up for, when I switched my major into poli sci, from being an open major. I tried to apply for the business school and didn't get in. I was super set on business and, you know, realized, okay, you know, what am I doing next? So at the end of my presentation in front of all these parents and students, I'd be like, also, I'm looking for a job. I graduate in like 2 months. If anyone knows of anything, I'm looking. And I remember someone came up to me at the end of a presentation, like, you should just join the Peace Corps. I was like, hi, sir. My name is Kara. It's nice to meet you. And he was like, no. Just join the Peace Corps because it's going to have the biggest impact on your life. It'll be 2 years. It'll be done before you know it. You're going to have this great experience under your belt. And I kind of sat there. And at the time I was interning in the representative's office in Boulder. And I was like, this guy is nuts. I'm like, thank you. I'm good. It's fine. So I started looking into it, just, you know, like, you know, I might as well just look at the application, and started thinking about it more. And then I started asking for referrals. Then I started writing my essay. And before I knew it, I was like stressing out about like the essay that I would finally submit. And I was like, I guess I really want to do this. So by the time I had submitted and interviewed, I already had another job working in campaigns, but I kind of had set the timeline for when I wanted to leave. And at that point, I remember in the interview, they're like, well, you can request which region you want to. And now, of course, the application is different. You can specifically pick which country you want to go to, which is just blows my mind. It's great, though. And I was like, I'll go anywhere. I'll literally go anywhere. It doesn't matter to me. So it's, you know, it's been a crazy journey. I'm so glad I did it. It's been by far one of the best experiences I had in my life. And even in college, I studied abroad with a program called Semester at Sea, which a lot of people joined Peace Corps after that. And a lot of people from Boulder went. And it just, by connecting with other people and other cultures and other places, you feel very fortunate of who you are as an American. You also feel really open up your eyes in terms of what other countries do and what other cultures have that a lot of times are better than what we have, which is great.
So one of the things that struck me there is that you filtered the advice, the outside advice, through your own lens. How do you do that? Because usually young people tend not to do that. They take advice and they just run with it.
I think a lot of people have good intentions in giving you advice, and sometimes you just need a little time to sort it out yourself to kind of realize, okay, is this really valid? Is this what I want to do? And I remember, Alan, when we had our conversation years ago, like, you should just get an MBA. I remember very similar conversation of like, I don't know you. Thanks. and I knew at the time, like, I think I had always considered the option of going back to school, but it just wasn't a priority for me. I always felt really strongly that, like, I'm only going to go back to school until I absolutely have to, until it makes sense. And, you know, from the Peace Corps and other decisions, like, you know, I think it's helpful to get other advice that you get, but at the end of the day, it's your life. You have to make the decisions that are best for you. And if for some people that's, you know, I want to work for a big financial firm, or I want to work for a big company, great, go do that, get that experience. And then maybe a year or 2 years in, you're like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I hate everything I do. But, you know, in some ways, people are going to do what they want to do. I think it's always helpful to just get different opinions and try to take that into consideration. But the best way that people can learn is by doing. So I think, at least for me, like, eventually going to grad school, it took me a long time to get there. It took several years, because the path that I had envisioned, I like wanted to do full-time at Berkeley. I was like, gonna have a break from work. It was gonna be awesome. That shit did not work. and something that, like, I really learned in college, and then way after college, is I had a terrible learning disability, which I didn't realize. And got tested at 28 years old. and even at Boulder, I actually, like, almost failed my first semester and got kicked out, and then was able to double my GPA the second semester because I just had such a hard time and realized what classes I needed to take that were a better fit for my needs. But ended up doing the MBA, didn't have to take the GMAT, and was super happy with the program I did, because it ended up being so much better than the one that I had thought I wanted. But it just kind of took me a while to figure that out.
So I want to do a quick follow-up, because you're in social media, or you mentioned even social media. How do you deal with, or what are your thoughts about it shaping people's perceptions on what they should be doing? I mean, what are the issues that you see with social media right now and its influence on young people?
Yeah, I think social media is really toxic, honestly. You know, especially nowadays when people are working from home or taking classes from home, you kind of get in this loop where you're constantly either looking at Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or Clubhouse or all the different platforms. And it's kind of like an echo chamber, where if you could imagine, like, years ago, you were home and you only lived with your family and your grandparents and your aunts, and like all you heard was the same things over and over and over again, like, go get a job, go do this, you should learn how to cook, whatever it is. But imagine that it's just in a tiny little device with a small screen. So I think, you know, really being able to get out of that world, and even just being conscious of, like, the accounts you follow, the people you read, like, is this having a positive impact on me? Is this the influence and information I want? Like, for me personally, like, I already know I spend way too much time on social media, but the people that I follow, you know, are entrepreneurs, are strong-minded women who've done impactful things, are people I really respect. And, you know, when I read what they're doing, it's inspiring. That being said, I think it's also good to see the reverse of that, people who have different opinions from me. And I take extra time to do that because it's important. But I think it's really tough. And, you know, something that I was always told in Peace Corps, especially nowadays when people are home a lot more, is just get outside every single day, no matter what. Like, go take a walk, go walk around the block, go get a coffee. If you have, like, a pet, like a dog, is great for that kind of thing. But it's really important just to, like, get a different perspective and not be in the same place all the time and listen to that echo chamber.
I think that's so important. And I think that's so relevant to, obviously, the time that we're in now too, which is really hard when, yeah, everyone is working or learning from home and you're just spending so much time in one space. I think that it's so easy to kind of forget all of the different things that exist outside of our bubble. One thing that we talk about a lot with people that we host on the podcast is imposter syndrome. And I just would love to kind of hear if you have ever experienced that, or just kind of what your thought processes are on that, if you do experience that, and kind of how do you work through it?
I think everyone experienced it at some point. But I think for me, especially with the things that I've done in my career the last 10 years or so, is just I do a lot of context switching. So I've, as I mentioned, like I get bored easily. So I've had roles in operations and project management to marketing to product management to market analysis. I worked in insurance for a while as an underwriter. So I think for me, especially with young people too, is it's really hard when you're assigned something by your boss or someone. You're like, okay, go work on this software program and try to figure out this result. And you're like, oh my God, I should know this. I should totally know how to do this. And I have no idea how to work that. I don't even know how to log in or how to use the tools. And that can be really intimidating. But the truth is, everyone before you did the same thing. You know, everyone had also opened that project and been like, I have no idea how to do this. Like, that happens all the time. So I think the best thing is really just like trying to resonate that and understand that, you know, lots of people don't know what they're doing all day. I mean, you talk to any developer, at least I work with a bunch of developers, and they're just like, yeah, half the things that I do, I just Google how to do it first. So, you know, it's totally fine. But it's interesting, especially when it's really overwhelming, is you can kind of like get in your own head or like procrastinate and you're like, no, I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna spend all of Saturday. I'm gonna focus on it. It's like, it's not really helpful. I had a really great boss years ago who was like just still an unbelievable person, has now started his own startup. And he was working military and grew up in crazy circumstances, but we were trying to write like a kind of like a proposal. I had never done that before with a bunch of universities. And so I kept trying and kept trying and sitting down. And finally it was like Friday at 4 o'clock after a long week. And he asked me, he's like, hey, how's the progress going on the proposal? Like, when can I take a look at it? And I just like sat there. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know how to start. Like, I've never done this before. I don't even know. Like, I like have a bunch of things written down, but it's awful. And I know it's awful. And I need your help. I finally just like broke down. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And he just sat me down and he was like, well, I've never done it either. So let's figure it out together. And I'm like, okay, great. And so we picked up some beers and pizza and we sat down and both of us on our laptops just sat right next to each other. And we're like, okay, you start at the top, you start at the bottom. Let's just ask these questions as we go through and we'll just hammer it out. And I don't know what time we left the office that day, honestly. Like, I don't think it was that long in my head, but we just did it. And it was fine. And, you know, just having someone to kind of be like, hey, I'm lost. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And being able to be honest, even if it's your boss or someone else, like, I think so much of it is, especially these days, of just answering, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. And then moving forward from that is huge.
So as a quick follow-up, what I find really interesting here is, and it relates to a lot of the stories I hear from other people, is that you get bored and you enter into new jobs, and then that increases the probability of that kind of scenario where you don't feel like you know what to do. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with this notion of risk and changing it up? How do you process that?
Yeah, I think for me, it's gotten easier. I think you really learn how to fail a lot. And I think learning how to fail is really, really, really important. If you don't really know how to do that and how to accept that path or the emotional, you know, roller coaster or anything, it's kind of hard later when you continue to not fail and not fail and not fail. And then eventually you fail when you're like later and you're like, oh my God, I'm a complete failure. Versus if you just fail all the time, it's just easier. So maybe that's not the most positive way of putting it, but like you're trying new things. And honestly, like I've had jobs where like it was not a good fit and I tried something different and I was fired and like it was fine. Like I moved on, I got a few months off to reassess and figure out what I wanted to do next, and that's okay. And you know, I still have great relationships with those bosses and companies because we both realize, you know, I tried the best that I could. I try to learn as much as I can. It just wasn't helping to move forward. And that's okay.
Well, one of the things I want to follow up on, and I want to say to the listeners, I hear this story a lot where people are bored and they want to switch. And that actually it's more normal than people think. And so I think it's encouraging to hear that story. Because if you take a look back just at the patterns of the data with my former students, they always switch up after about 2-3 years. they get bored and they switch projects. So I think it's kind of cool that you're actually telling us that narrative up front of going into a project, knowing you're going to get bored and expecting to have to switch it up.
Yeah. I mean, I think the longest I've ever stayed at a company is 2.5 years. So when you say 2 to 3 years, I'd be like, I kind of switch every year. maybe that's not normal, but it's pretty normal in tech. So
it's pretty normal.
Yeah. And you're always leveling up too. That's the thing, you know, like even if you try with something and you switch to a different role in another company, or you can change within a company. So you already know the like foundation. That's so valuable. I mean, in any company, any boss that you have, if they don't have your back, as the same boss I would say before, just get out. Like if you don't have someone who wants your best interest, wants you to learn, wants to support you, you're not in the right role. You need to move because it's not going to change.
I think there's so many things that you've said today that I'm really like sitting here resonating with and that I think will be so refreshing for listeners to hear, because I think what's so hard about this process, about like finding this thing that you want to invest in and care about, it can seem super daunting and overwhelming from the beginning of like, oh my gosh, I have to pick one thing and I have to go and do it. And you're completely shattering that idea and just saying, no, like it's completely fine to go and do something and invest and take those learnings and then pivot and do something else. And to do that is healthy. And that's something that it sounds like has made your career really successful so far. And just like taking all the little learnings and all the failures and successes and saying, I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to build upon it. And that is going to be this really strong foundation that you've created for yourself. And I think that that's just so cool and so inspiring. So I think that that's a great place to wrap up today. I just want to thank you again for taking the time to chat with us and sharing your journey. And I think it'll be a great listen for our audience. So thank you again. As per usual, at the end here, I'd like to ask our guests if you have any work or social media or anything that you would like to share with our audience that they can kind of check out what you're doing or kind of the things that you've talked about today.
I have a Twitter account. It's just my first and last name. It's really complicated as a handle. And I don't use it that often. I'm mostly on LinkedIn. That's where I try to keep up all my connections. And I do lots of posts on things happening in tech and also advocating for women in the workplace, specifically around paid family leave as well. So cool. New Zealand just came out with amazing legislation.
Yes.
But yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just connect with as many people as you can, because you never know if someone's going to give you some advice that just hits home. That's just someone out of your circle, and you never know when they're going to end up being helpful later on, or you can help them. I'm a big promoter of pay it forward. And there's tons of people that I still talk to today and mentor with that sometimes just need the advice of someone else who's been a few years in and want to take a new perspective. So it's a pleasure, and it's been just wonderful chatting with you. It's a good reflection for me too, because you never know what's going to come next. I've been kind of working on my own idea for a couple of months now, and who knows what'll happen. If I fail, I'll learn from it no matter what.
I love that. Okay. Well, thanks again for listening, everyone. As per usual, if you have any thoughts or feedback you want to share with us, our Instagram is @paths2purposepod, or our email is paths2@gmail.com. And we will see you next week. Bye.